couple of kids' songs. And then suddenly, as we were having the kids' songs, there was a sense of really God beginning to inhabit the praises of people. And as the children began to pray and began to sing and began to worship, it had an incredible effect on the rest of the church. Suddenly we came from being, as we are quite often in the Western world, quite rigid and quite tight, to actually suddenly being released into God's presence. And as we were worshiping, I had a picture of a child leading a lion. I don't know if you've seen that picture in Isaiah. And it's almost like the child had come as a child. And normally a lion is something which is, you can't contain, there's power. But this child had great confidence, and the lion was happy enough to follow behind the child because it knew, it was nothing that got in the way of it. And it's a very amazing it was an amazing morning as we saw the children lead us into God's presence. And so this evening we want to come before God like a child. We want to come into his presence. We want to be open to what God has for us as a people. So I'm just going to pray that God will help us in that as we look at God's word and we navigate through what God is saying to us in this evening, Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, we just welcome your presence. Lord, we acknowledge your presence more than welcome because we know you're here already. But we just want to pray this evening that you would help us to hear what you're saying to us as a church or as a group of people from different places, that you would speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So just out of interest, I mean, who is here for the first time? I know people when they say that, it's like, oh great, you know, you're here for the first time. Are you very well? Not here. Okay, brilliant. Well, it's great having you here. You're very welcome. Excellent. Excellent. And anyone who's here, who may come here in the evening, excellent. I met you before Emmanuel, I believe it is. It's wonderful to see you. Excellent. God's with us. No, exactly. And what about other people here who maybe would come in just an evening or just maybe go to church in the morning and come here? Excellent. Well, you're very welcome. And anyone else? The only reason I'm saying this is because in the morning I spoke very specifically to us as a church, located here. And in the evening, we're not quite sure who's where and everywhere. So I'm just seeing how I want to locate this talk so that I can kind of hit people from where they are from the different backgrounds. Excellent. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, very welcome. It's great to have you. So you've got some of the Jewish background. We've got Emmanuel. We've got God with us. That's a great start to evening already, isn't it? So last week, I talked about God's restoration. We looked at Zechariah and we looked at God's promises to restore his people from captivity. And I believe the call upon the church is to activate and be active in the ministry of Jesus. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he calls us to be part of. That's what he came to model and release among a people who love him. Why has he released this ministry to us? Because he's called us to rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated, and they will renew the ruined cities that are going to be devastated for generations. This, in one sense, is the outworking of Jesus' ministry from Isaiah 61, which we're going to look at in a minute. But a few years ago, we were approached by the college over the road here, and they said whether they could put an installation on outside our church. And they came up with numerous ideas of what they'd like to put, and we thought, well, actually, if someone's going to put something outside our church, it's going to reflect on what goes on in the church. So we're very careful in working with the person to capture something of what God was doing in the church, what God's calling us to be part of, and what God's releasing in the church. So I'm going to ask to put these up. This is what the art installation looked like. Do you think God may be saying something? And last week I spoke about the new reality, God's vision for the city, that God was going to restore his people, he's going to reestablish worship in Jerusalem, and he was going to retain and restore his people, that they may be the glory of Jesus over all the earth. This is what it says in Jeremiah. It says, "They'll be taken to Babylon, and they will remain until the day I come for them, declares the Lord. Then I'll bring them back and restore them to this place." And so God's people had been taken into exile by the Babylonians, and the city of Jerusalem and the center of worship had been razed to the ground. They'd been in captivity 70 long years, and then the word of the Lord suddenly came through the prophets, and he said, "I'm going to restore my people." The beginning of restoration always comes when the people of God repent. It says this, "Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says, return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you." Then if you turn with me to Zechariah 8, it says this, "This is what the Lord says, I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain." And so in the repentance, God was instilling a vision for the city. A repented people meant that God was going to return to the people as they repented and returned to him. What was God going to do? He was going to return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then he says this, "Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth." And so God was going to restore the reputation of Jerusalem and the reputation of God's people. And as we said last week, God's presence changes the climate of the city. This is what the Lord says. "Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit on the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there." So when God's presence comes back into a city, it changes the climate. What is the climate change? Well, it restored the community as God intended it to be. Families will operate as God called them to. The old will be respected and the young will be cared for. So how does restoration happen? The first process of restoration is when God's people or a people repent and return to God. The second way that restoration happens, I believe, is through the restoration of worship. I believe that true worship restores community. And I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. As Rob talked about just now about the woman at the well, I'm going to use that as a basis in order to move towards looking at God's restoration of worship and God calling a people to worship in spirit and truth, and how spirit and truth has an impact on the church, the community, and the nation. In the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, Jesus relocates the center of worship from a mountain or from a city. He relocates the place of worship to a response of the heart. God is looking for our hearts. God is looking for throughout the earth for those who want to respond to him. If you turn with me to John 4, we're going to use this as a beginning point. I'm probably very familiar with the story, so I'm going to pray see it. So the woman, Jesus encounters a woman at the well. Jesus had gone through the desert while the disciples had gone off to buy food. And a Samaritan woman, day by day, would have gone to the well, filled up her jug, taken the water back to her community. And so this would have been a well-trodden path. While she's at the well, she bumps into Jesus. Jesus was there, and he says to her, "Samaritan woman, will you give me a drink?" And the Samaritan woman was shocked. You know, how can a Jew ask a Samaritan for a drink? He says, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So for her, it was a really shocking thing. But in the midst of that shock, in the midst of that barrier being broken down, Jesus says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who asks you for drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And so in that encounter, Jesus is saying to this woman, the gift of God is before you. Then he goes on to say, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." And so in this encounter, the woman is being shown that God can provide water that is eternal, that is life-giving and is eternal. The cup that she used to go every day to fill up was momentary. It lasted as long as the container contained the water. But in that encounter, Jesus sees that the struggle she has in her life is through broken relationship. He says to her, "Where's your husband? Go get your husband." And she goes, "Well, I don't have a husband." And then Jesus says to her, "Well, in fact, you've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband." And see, God knew her struggles. God knew that she struggled with broken relationship. And so God was calling her to a place where she could turn her life around. And what does he do in that encounter? He firstly points her to the source of living water. And secondly, he teaches her about worship so that she can continually draw upon the source of living water, which is Jesus Christ himself. It says this, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." And I'm going to unpack that a little bit more in a minute. But out of that revelation to her, Jesus is saying that the worship will no longer be located in a mountain or in a city, but worship will be located for those who worship the Father in spirit and truth. And that is what the Father is looking for upon the earth, those who want to worship him in spirit and truth. And then what happens, he says, the woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. When he comes to explain everything to us," then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." And so what is God doing here? What is Jesus doing here? He's relocating the place of worship from the mountain, from Jerusalem, to the person of Jesus Christ. And out of that relationship that she has had with Jesus, she suddenly meets the Messiah, the one who has promised, the one who has come. And out of that relationship, Jesus restores her. But out of that, this encounter and her testimony, as we see, brings restoration to the community from which she comes from. It says this, "Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." That's for Jesus. "He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to me, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many became believers. They said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" And so in that encounter with Jesus, her testimony of encountering with the living God brought restoration to a community. How did that happen? She went and told them about Jesus. So now I'm going to home in a little bit about true worship and about how that is a means by which God restores his people and those who do not know him. This is what it says. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth." So the work of restoration, I believe, is through the Holy Spirit and through his word, through his truth. The work of God is always initiated by the Holy Spirit. It's not by might or by power, but it's by God's Spirit. In Exodus 33, we see Moses call for something, and we see, if I can quickly pray see this, in Exodus 33. Moses says this, "You've been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you'll send with me. You said, 'I know you by name and have found favor with me.' If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people," the Lord replied. "My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do everything you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I have compassion on whom I have compassion. And so in this encounter, Moses says, who will you send with me? What does God do? He said, I will show you my glory. I will show you my presence. Why? Because God's presence changes the atmosphere. God's presence makes his people distinct. He said, unless you go with me, what will be any different from any other people? God's people are different when God's presence is on and in his people. Secondly, God revealed his nature and character to Moses, showing that God is compassionate, he has mercy, and he has compassion on who he has compassion. So we see something of God's nature and character. And when God's presence comes, it blesses the people and the community it is located within. In Isaiah 61, we see a situation. If I just quickly turn to Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 is really the headline bit before we hear the restoration, restore, revive. In this, we see this. The Spirit, God's presence, was anointed. The anointing by the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus for the ministry of the kingdom. What was the ministry of kingdom? It was the kingdom of restoration. When Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, he brought in the kingdom of restoration. What was that? He was anointed to preach good news to the poor. So the poor had good news. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So the brokenhearted were bound up and healed. He called to proclaim freedom for the captives. So captives were set free. He called to release the prisoners from darkness. So prisoners were set free. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our Lord. And so the Spirit upon Jesus enabled the ministry of Jesus to be activated. And when God spoke the word, he released the kingdom of God and people were set free. Read the New Testament. It's full of stories of the kingdom of God falling upon the earth and restoring people from the different situations. In John 16, it talks about the work of the Spirit. It says this. It says, the work of the Spirit is this. When he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where he can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, convicts the world of sin. What does it do? It leads to repentance. What does repentance lead to? It leads to restoration. You see, the people of God, the prophets spoke, repent, return to me, and I'll return to you. What does it do? Secondly, it guides us into all truth. It leads us to the person of Jesus Christ and reveals Jesus and his glory. Then Isaiah 61, it goes on to say this. I should really have marked this, shouldn't I? There we go. I can put my finger in it this time. So the Holy Spirit is upon Jesus. He's the ministry of restoration. The Holy Spirit leads to repentance. It leads people into all truth. It reveals Jesus and his glory. And then it says this. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. So who are these oaks of righteousness? These oaks of righteousness are you and you and you and you and you. They're God's people. Why? For the display of his splendor. What does God want to do? He wants to bring together a community in which he can reveal the nature and character of Jesus. And we're going to go on to a minute and how that worked itself out. This is what it says about the community that God wants to bring together. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so they will always fear me for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them. I'll never stop doing good to them. I'll inspire them to fear me so they will never turn away from me. I'll rejoice in doing them good and will surely plant them in the land with all my heart and soul. And so God's calling a people to be their God. He wants to give them singleness of heart and action so they're committed to what God has called them to do together. It's not only for their own good, but for the generations after, for the good of their children. I'll make an everlasting covenant. It's an eternal promise by God that I'll never stop doing good to them, and I'll inspire them to fear me so they'll never turn away and they'll rejoice in doing good, and then God will plant them in the land with all his heart and soul. What is he planting in the land? He's planting a community in order to display his splendor. What's God's people going to do? Well, God's people are going to rebuild the ancient ruins. They're going to restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. They will rebuild, restore, renew. Or in other words, renew is revive. So God's word, God's work is, God's restoration, firstly, is through his spirit. And secondly, God's restoration is through his word. God's word was displayed through flesh and blood. The ministry was born out of the spirit, but implemented through flesh and blood. In the message, it says this: the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Don't you just love that one? It wasn't the spirit alone, but the word became flesh and blood. Well, what does that mean? Well, the word moved from a page into a person. The word became living and active. And Jesus called the body of Christ, you and me, God's community, to be active in Jesus' ministry, called together for a common purpose, to make Jesus known upon the earth. And so the word is activated, demonstrated, incarnated through God's people. So it's not just a spirit thing over here. Jesus came to show us what God was like. He came as flesh and blood. So the word is activated, demonstrated, incarnated through God's people. God's presence is made present through his people. God's word is made real through his people. The Lord plants his people to display his splendor. The anointing upon God's people is not passive, rather it is active. And it recreates a climate for the possibility of change. To rebuild, to restore, and to renew. So what does rebuilding require God's people to do? Well, firstly, to repent. Repentance is the beginning of God using his people. Secondly, God's people are forgiven, and we too forgive. So we become a restored people. It's very difficult to tell people about God's forgiveness if we don't forgive each other. And so again, it has to be incarnated. It has to be worked through in community. God's rebuilding happens through his anointing, because we can't do this without God's anointing upon us. And it's a response of the heart. Those who have forgiven much love much. And so we want to respond in the way that Jesus does to the suffering and pain in our churches, in our communities, and in the places God finds us. Just before the service, I was talking to Malcolm, who's been doing the sound tonight, and he said to me, I've just got something for you this morning, this evening, that I'll read about it. And it says this: Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. And this morning in the service, God released compassion upon many people in the church. And they began to weep and they began to cry. Because you know what compassion does? It compels us to do something about a situation. And I want to pray more than ever that God releases compassion on each one of us here. Whether you're part of this church, whether you're not part of this church, whether you're part of wherever you're part of, I really pray that God will release that, because we've got to start reaching out, because you know, we are what God has left behind. And if we're not doing the ministry, people are missing out on Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, I saw Jesus with this big rubber kind of ball, and in it, he was trying to get out into the community, but this big ball was just preventing him coming out into the community. And as I saw this, I began to hear the cry of God inside, and I'll tell you, it was the most uncomfortable sound I've ever heard in my life. It was absolutely, it wasn't terrifying, but it was just overwhelming with God's passion and love for those outside the church, as well as those inside the church. And in the dream, I suddenly saw a lion appear, and the lion roared. It ripped open the bubble and released Jesus' ministry to the poor and the broken. It says in Amos, "The lion has roared, who will not but fear? The Lord has spoken, who cannot but prophesy?" And I saw Jesus upon the cross, and I saw Jesus on the cross give the roar of a lion to those who did not know him and those who would know him. He shouts out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And so the roar of God is to his people. The roar of God is the community. The roar of God is to transform the places we find ourselves. We cannot contain it within the church. We can't contain it with the comfort of our homes. We cannot be comfortable with this any longer, because there are people out there who are dying. And so as core, we want to be God's presence within the community. First, we want to be a place of worship, but also a resource to the broken, the poor, the hurting. Not only to provide the good news of Jesus Christ and his power to change lives, which is God's transformation, but we want to put a plan in place in a practical way which helps people fulfill their God-given potential. And we're going to look at this this morning, many people will be familiar with this message in the morning, maybe not so many here this evening, but we're looking to, we've got a building over there which we're going to renovate, and we're going to, so that we can be a resource to the community. We can provide childcare facilities for mums so they can meet together, they can look after kids together, they can build a relationship with each other, they can get out of the flats, have a break from the oppression of being there sometimes, just get to be with each other. We want to put on parenting courses to help parents become good mums and dads, so children grow up in a good way. We want to put homework clubs so that people are able to fulfill their God-given destiny by being people sitting with them and helping them achieve, helping them through, so they can actually, be really good at reading and writing, engaging with in a very practical way in society. We want to put a great kitchen out there, sitting area for coffee mornings, so we can bring the young and the old, so this can begin to become a thriving community during the day. We want to put on life courses so that we can disciple people, we can tell people about Jesus. We want to work with those who are struggling with addictions. We want to have prayer rooms so that people can pray and be ministered to. We want space for children to meet, for the old to meet, for people to meet and hang out. We want offices so we can minister the ministries. We want teaching rooms so we can teach and teach people about Jesus and all sorts and train people. Because we know this was on God's heart. And so it cannot just be about the Spirit. It has to also be about the truth. And the truth is incarnated in God's people. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Who moved into the neighborhood? The body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. What is the ministry of Jesus Christ? To set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring the year of the Lord's favor, so that we can be part of God's restoration upon the earth. And in a couple of minutes, we're just going to have a couple of testimonies of that in the church with what God is doing. But I'm going to leave us with what Malcolm gave to me this evening. And this is both a challenge and a blessing of what God is going to do. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks with compassion into the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which Christ blesses the world. And so I'm going to invite Paddy, who oversees one of our ministries within the church that is reaching out to the community, particularly the young people, and is going to share a little bit about what it means to be God present in the community.
Right. There we go. Hiya, folks. My name is Paddy, and I've been running a ministry in the church here called Kids Club for the last 8 years. And if you've ever been here on a Saturday, it's pretty lively. We have lots of fun. We sing praise songs. We have pantomimes, and we have a teaching time. And we had about over 100 kids here yesterday, and it was amazing. It was brilliant, and I love doing it. That's like the icing on the cake. The cake is. There's about five of us go out visiting in the community every week during the week on a Wednesday or Thursday evening. And Sarah's one of those people. And I want God to be present in this community. And I want us as a church to be God present in this community. And I have a couple of stories I want to share with you about how God is working this out. And I'm very excited about what God has been doing. And there's just a couple of stories about. There's one mom in particular, and she's a lovely woman. She's a real soft spirit. She's a real gentle spirit. And I've known her for quite a few years. And I was over there on Wednesday evening, and I was having a chat with her. And God's been speaking to me about being bold and declaring His goodness, and being bold and declaring Him. And, you know, the time for timidity is over, the time to be bold and to talk about Him and how good He is, and how He wants to transform people's lives. And this lovely woman, she's been in and out of hospital a lot of times over the last few years. And, you know, I got to talk to her a little bit about that. And, you know, she has ulcers because she suffers with stress, and She's obviously, over the years, she's had struggle with drugs, and that's had an effect on her. But I got to pray with her, and I got to speak some really, I got to say some really good things to her. I got to tell her, you know, that she's this beautiful, gentle spirit, and that she's, you can see it in her kids. I see a lot of kids in this community, and they're very tough and hard. And her three kids just are beautiful. They have this real gentle spirit about them. And, you know, I got to encourage her in that, and I said, look, you know, God is using you through your kids, and you're here for a reason. And I said, you know, God is not far away. God is not far away. I felt while I was praying for her, I asked her, could I pray for her, put my hand on her shoulder, and I just prayed for her, and I prayed that God's Spirit would fill her. I prayed that she would know that she is an amazing daughter, beautiful daughter of the living King. And that she is loved, and she is, God has a purpose and a plan. And I told her about the life course that Rob's going to be talking about, and she was really interested in that. And she said, yeah, tell me about that. And I told her a bit about that, and she said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And as I was praying with her, I prayed that God's Spirit would fill her. And after I prayed with her, she said, "You know, while you were praying with me, I felt something inside." She said, "I felt this, you know." And it was just a wonderful thing that she felt God's presence inside her as I prayed with her. She felt God's presence filling her up. And she was really encouraged by that. And she said she's going to come and do a life course. And a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Oliver Bond down the hill here. And I met this young lad. And as I was leaving the flats and coming back up to the church here, he followed me up the hill. And he said to me, "Paddy, you know, if somebody has a problem with alcohol, where would they go to get help for something like that?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but I'll find out." And I asked a few people in the church here. And I found out there's this place called Cunmurra down in Athy. And they have some beds there. And it's a 3-month course that people can go on. And so this kid... As he left, as I left and as he walked off, he said, "You know, my mum has a problem with alcohol." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll try and find it." So I looked on the internet about this place, and I got some information, and I dropped it down to this kid's sister, and she said, "Listen, thanks a million. I'm gonna let her know about that." And so yesterday. After Kids Club, this woman came up to the church here, and she was shaking, she was crying, she was a broken, broken woman. And she told me some stories about her life. She told me about how her husband had beaten her for years. She told me about how her son had punched her in the face. She told me about how her son, she tried to make up with her son, and she bought a load of DVDs and given them to him, and he'd broken them in front of her face. And she was just so broken and so upset. And as we were here yesterday, I gave her the number. She had this information, and she had the number for this place, and she rang from the kitchen there, from the phone in the kitchen. And she said, "What'll I say?" I said, "Just be honest. Just be honest." And she rang up and she said, "Is there any chance of me getting in there?" And unfortunately, they didn't have any beds right then. But they asked her to bring back every day. And as soon as they have a place, they're gonna get her in. And you know, she said to me, she said, "You know, I have problems." She said, "But I've taken that first step now. I've taken that first step." And you know, and I got to pray with her as well. And I got to encourage her and pray with her and pray that God's Spirit would fill her. And that he'd give her strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And, you know, we were praying this morning for that woman, that she would get a bed. And I hope we can maybe do that tonight as well. That we'll pray that she would be rebuilt, restored and renewed by Jesus. And, you know, there's about probably 5 of us go out into the community week after week. But I want us to have a bigger impact as a church in this community. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but that takes more people getting involved. And, you know, it's very easy what we do. It's not complicated at all. We have these sheets. And this is our excuse to go and see the kids and the families in the community. And we go with this sheet and we say, you know, we run a club on a Saturday, and a lot of the, like, we've been doing this for 8 years, so we have a lot of favour in the community. Most people know who we are. We wear bibs, and, you know, people say, "Kids Club." And so we go around and we give out these sheets, and it gives us an opportunity to get to know the parents, to get to know the grandparents, to get to know the kids, to get to know the teenagers. And it's not difficult. Anybody can do this. Anybody. You know, it's not a complicated thing, and it's an easy thing to do. And as we step out and walk around the community and we give out these sheets, we get opportunities to pray with people. We get opportunities to bless people. We get opportunities to, you know, if I hear about a need for somebody needs their flat painted, I call Richie and the impact team, and we get them involved. You know, Graham and the guys have been doing rugby, and you know, I built up so many links with them and the local community centre. So anyway, I'm going to have an information evening in the church here this Thursday coming. And could you put up the slide, Adam? There was a slide during the announcements. It's this Thursday at 8 o'clock. If you're interested in getting involved or finding out more about Kids Club, you don't have to, I'm not going to stamp you and say, okay, now you're a Kids Clubber. Just come and find out some information. I'm going to show a short DVD, and I'm going to talk about some of the things that we do in the club, like the visiting and like the club on a Saturday. And I'd love you to come along for that. And if you're interested, come and talk to me or just show up on the evening. It's going to be here. It's going to be next Thursday, this coming Thursday, at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, it'll be coming up on the screen here. But I suppose, you know, the thing is that the club is the icing on the cake. The visiting in the community is the cake, you know. So, Kids Club Info Evening this Thursday in Core, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Short presentation on the work we do. So please come along, just to, even if you're mildly interested.
That's brilliant. And now Rob's going to do something about the life course, so he's going to talk about it.
Hi folks, I won't keep you too long. I just have a couple of things I want to share. It won't take longer than 2 minutes. But just to say, one of the most important things when we're talking about God present is to create mediums or courses or such whereby you guys can get involved in or bring your friends along to. And what I mean by that is we all know that we've got a great message to share. We all know that in Jesus there's a wonderful thing that we can share because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And there's many courses that are run. You've heard of the Alpha Course. You guys might have heard of the Alpha Course. We're running a similar one here called the Life Course. John talked recently there, a couple of moments ago, about John 4 and the woman at the well. Now you've got to imagine, when the woman at the well met Jesus, she ran back to her village and she told them about Jesus. What would be the first thing that they would have said? Who is this Jesus? Where is he from? How do I find out more about him? Can I get involved with him? All these different questions would have bubbled up and bubbled up and bubbled up. Why? Because they were searching for more. The Sumerian people were searching for more. They're waiting for a Messiah since 700 BC. They were out of questions. Now that hasn't changed much today. The world is still searching for a Messiah, if you like, searching for more. And we see that in the media, don't we? We see that in such clips as going to go up here. This is by a famous guy you might have known, Bernard Levin. You would have read him in the Irish Times, Independent, Hello magazine. He's been all the greats. And this is what he said, and he's not a Christian. He said, I have to know why I was born, because of course I'm unable to believe that it was an accident. And if it wasn't one, it must have had a meaning. Countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessing as a happy family, and yet leads lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there's a hole inside of them, and that however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff in with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches. And we know we live in a society like the time of Samaria, a society that's looking for more, a society that's searching for more. We exist in that same society today. And because of that, we're putting on the Life Course. And the Life Course is exactly what it says on the tin. It's about bringing people to an abundant life, as Jesus says in John 10:10, a life that is led by Jesus Christ. When's it on? 22nd of October to the 15th of November. It's 5 sessions covering the questions like, who is Jesus? Why did he die? Why the heck have a church? What does that mean for me? What about my life when I become a follower of Jesus? It's from 7:30 to 9:15. We have some video clips. We've got some interviews, a very short talk, and we have group discussion. And may I just say, this is a very safe place for you guys to bring your friends. Even, I know some of you tonight have been looking at the flyers. It's a very safe place for you to come along to, hear questions, ask questions, and learn more about Jesus. It's only a 5-week course, and I would encourage you to come along, take a flyer, and invite your friends. Because in order for us to be God present, as it were, we need to be reaching out, as John says, and that's exactly why we're running the life course. So please pray about it. Please ask some of your friends, or maybe tonight you want to sign up for that. So that's all I want to say. Okay, let's finish up. Moving into second gear then. So let's stand and let's finish together as we stand.